and welcome to episode 137 of the Talking Talkie podcast. I'm your host, Tom Bosper, today, and I'm luckily joined by Matthew Roberts. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm sounding quite optimistic, and I don't really know why, because I think we've got half an hour of pure joy to get through. So maybe I'm just trying to get the enthusiasm going, and so we'll see where we go. So, of course, we're coming to talk to you after two games, one win, one defeat. Probably more memorable the defeat, which we'll get onto in a minute, but we'll start off with a nice 1-0 home victory. And Matt, you were there.
Yes, yeah, and it was a game which I was not particularly looking forward to, because I've seen Bath more than I have Torquay this season, and Bath have been much better than we have in the games that I've seen. They've signed some tricky players. They've got a decent squad, and they're much improved than last season. I thought that they could really pose a lot of problems on Saturday, especially to our slow and aging defence in some places. But in the end, none of that happened. It was a game which it just seemed to pass everyone by. I know it's not great material for a podcast or anything, but not a lot happened. I wrote the match report for another website, and I was struggling to think of things to say at some point, because it just seemed like neither team really came out of the blocks. Neither team really got out of second gear. We were the better side, but that's not really saying much, because Bath didn't. They didn't really threaten at all. They occasionally had the odd foray into our final third, but no end product, which I was quite surprised at considering the players they've got. Like Ewan Clark on the wing, who they've signed on loan from Bristol City. I would have loved to have had him at the start of the season, and he's done some really good stuff for them, but no, just off the pace on Saturday. And no real opportunities. The most interesting thing that happened really in the first half was an altercation of the pop side just below where we were standing. Some sort, allegedly, a fan got into trouble for wearing a Johnson Out t-shirt. caused a right commotion. and in the end, apparently that fan was ejected from the stadium when he went to the loo.
Was he the only one in a shirt like that, or was there a few, do you know?
I think there were a few, because I ran into at least two in Boots and Laces after the game. I can't remember whether it was the same ones I saw in the pub side, but this is the second time I've been to play more in like the past 6 months, and the last time I went was York at home, and the difference in atmosphere I thought was. It's just tremendous. I know we're in a different place, we're a different league, but there's such an air of negativity, of resignation.
Everything seems Saturday. Sort of drained, doesn't it, from there?
Yeah. It was just empty. You know, emotionally, really, for me. I mean, it's a game where we won 1-0, and I've never felt so meh after a victory before, because where's it going? What's the point? You got the impression that the game would be decided from one decent chance, because neither side were really doing much, and that's exactly what happened. Donnellan's goal, which I missed when I went to the loo at the wrong time, was the only good moment of the game, really, the only real moment of quality. Even if it didn't take a deflection, it would have been a good shot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I listened to the second half on the radio, and it was just, yeah, I mean, you've kind of summed it up perfectly with talking about how flat it was. And I think even looking at the on our Twitter groups and things like that, just there was no enthusiasm at all in any of the any of the discussion. Everyone just thought that's just one of these games that's going to just pass us by. And I guess the saving grace is the fact that we have taken 3 points from them and it is a clean sheet at home. Donnellan obviously got the goal. Was there anybody else who you thought stood out for us, or was it pretty much that's it?
Not so much stood out, but I thought that Lovett was pretty decent, which may sound slightly contradictory given that he didn't have too much to do. But we were sort of the end of the pop side, so sort of level with him during the second half, and he was very vocal and commanded his area very well, which is always a bonus and something which I've criticised Helstead for before, in the past. But that's really it, I think. I wouldn't say there was a huge amount else that anybody did to warrant any sort of praise. No one was dreadful, I didn't think. It was just average. And I thought to myself, half time, both sides look about the same. They both look even. And I thought, it's such a shame.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are now. We're a bang average Conference South side.
Yeah.
And the utter resignation from the club in allowing that to happen and continuing to happen is such a shame. And I just, even though we won at the end of the game, I thought, I don't really feel anything after this.
No, I guess everybody was kind of resigned to the fact that we were going to be hosting Yeovil on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
It wasn't the performance that was going to give anyone any sort of optimism going into that. It was just kind of like perfectly summed up, I think, in just in terms of how grey it was, I guess, that game. But it is a win, and it sort of kept us in contention in the playoffs. We're trying to find positives, grinding out results. A couple of new lads on loan. Obviously, I think it was Dolan's second game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he's looked quite tricky, hasn't he? I think that's what our midfield has kind of needed, someone with a bit of oomph about them.
Well, yeah, because we can't just rely on the likes of Hansen and McGavin and Hall, unfortunately. And Lapsley as well, who was absent on Saturday. You assume he's injured again. Although obviously no word from the club. Dolan, he was perfectly decent, I thought. I can't complain at more options in the midfield or anywhere in the squad, given how light we are. I did think that if Jarvis is out until Christmas, as we were told by the club the other day, then having Ash up front on his own is just unworkable.
He's not a lone striker, is he?
No, he didn't get anything in the first half, and he's not a lone striker at all. As you say, he works best when he's off. He's playing off somebody else, but his confidence is shot to pieces at the moment, and it's too bad watching him feeding off scraps at the moment. Yeah. He can't get anything. Yeah. Bath defence were crowding him out all the time, and he got subbed off in the second half for the new lad Williams. I'd probably be starting him instead at the moment if he's fit.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, we'll come on to the Yeovil game anyway, but Ash certainly seems like a player who, if we had enough reinforcements, we would sort of take out the firing line for a bit. He needs a bit of a break, doesn't he? And you're completely right. He's not a lone striker. It doesn't look like we sort of amended the way we approach the games without Jarvis, if that makes sense. We've still have wingers pumping the ball into the box. And he's not the kind of player to get on the end of that. And even if he does feed off some scraps, he just hasn't been able to take anything yet, has he?
No. The only positive, though, that I noticed was I know that in previous games or games in the last couple of months, we've been guilty of just hammering it upfield too much and just playing long ball after long ball to the likes of Jarvis and Ash, who obviously neither of them are target men. And we didn't really do that though on Saturday. I thought we we tried to play it the right way. It's just that nothing really came off.
No.
But I'd rather us play it along the floor and something occasionally come up than just launching it upfield with no imagination. But it sounds as though it didn't last much longer than just one game.
No. I guess we should... I guess we've sort of talked about everything to do with the Bath game and the enthusiasm we've just... just exuded for a 1-0 win is not going to be it's going to be even worse for this Yeovil game. I assume you watched it, did you?
Well, I only managed to keep up to date with what was happening on social media, and that gave me a good idea of what was happening. But I know that you were watching it online. What did you make of it?
So, I was fortunate enough to have something else to do during the first half, so I could sort of drop in and out of it. But I think just the game yesterday has just kind of brought everything to a fore for me, really. I think I'm just completely sick to the back teeth of this club at the moment. You can talk about the club itself before even getting into the team, and just sort of look at the whole atmosphere at the moment. Just completely stinks, doesn't it? Got everything from the unhappy bar staff on the day. You've got the terrible food, which is overpriced. You've got not enough staff working in the bars. The queues are ridiculous. I heard that there was no, obviously it's a while ago, but the first game of the season, the kits weren't ready to be sold.
Yeah.
But obviously there's issues with the ticket system that's been going on for ages. We have no information whatsoever regarding injuries. It's going to sound like a small thing, but just the social media side of things, just the everything by the graphics just looks so unprofessional. The interviews after the games, everything is just so bad, and it's just so infuriating to watch. And then you have all of that in the background, and then we play like we did, and it's just we can't define what we are, really, can we? And Johnson can blame the injuries. He said after the game we're missing five players, and to beat a team like this you need your strongest team, and it's the same all the time. And I think you probably used to be able to say that Gary Johnson talking United side was direct, but his terminology for direct has completely shifted. I think it's just so much more route one and just kind of hope for the best and just hoofing it along countless times. And it just doesn't yield any sort of success whatsoever. And I don't know if you saw this, but there was an interview with Sean Dyche during the week, and he was talking about Dele Alli and how Dele Alli understands how Dyche wants to play and how he wants to play direct football, which is kind of what you'd think is route one. And the way Dyche explains it is it's not about just hoofing it long. It's about quick, firm passes into feet and just getting the ball forward as quickly as possible and getting turned and going. So still involving all the players and not just hoofing it long. Our current definition of direct is just completely miss out midfield, which I'll get onto in a second after yesterday. And just, like I say, hope for the best with Jarvis. And as soon as Jarvis is out, the goals they haven't completely dried up, but I think the goal against Bath was a deflection. Yesterday was a good finish by McGavin, but most of that second half, we're just the ball's on the edge of the box. You're just hoping somebody can do something, but they're at no point, especially when we're 3-1 down, for the last 10, 15 minutes, we had all the ball, and at no point did I think, well, we're going to score in a second. It was just so comfortable for Yeovil. And so just to carry this on, it's just the team itself. I don't know about you, but I just don't have any sort of affiliation with any of these players. In the past, there was always the odd player you'd think, he's a good player, he's quality. But even the old classics like Hall and Moxie, they just aren't at it anymore, are they?
No, they're not. It's a bridge too far for the likes of Hall, several bridges too far, I think. He can't do 90 minutes anymore, really, can he?
No, and it's...
In which case, why sign him again?
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense, does it? And to be left with Hanson and McGavin, which is the midfield pairing that we hated last season... And that might be a bit of a strong term, but strongly disliked last season. And I remember a lot of people saying, yeah, but they'll be good in the National League South, and thinking, Yeah, they might be, which they're not, just to clear that up, but they might be. But where we want to be, they're not the players that we need. We need two new central midfielders who are going to be too good for the National League itself. So when we get back to where we want to be, they're capable. They're not the players. They failed us once. Even if they got us back, they're not going to suddenly become world beaters. And the two goals for Yeovil are basically the exact same. Neither central midfielder tracking the run of whoever, of Newbill in the first one, and then I can't remember who scores the second goal, but it's the exact same moves. That player playing it into him, playing a simple 1-2, nobody tracking them, and then he just waltz into the box and scores this 2. And it's just, you look at someone like McGavin, and I know we say this every week until unless he scores a worldie, which he did score a good goal yesterday, but I can't believe somebody is so slow, and I can't believe someone like Hansen is so inept, and that's who you've got in the middle of the park. I just, obviously we're missing players like Dawson, but we haven't seen him at all since the end of last season.
Should never have been re-signed.
Players like Lapsley, I'm quite a big critic of Lapsley. I don't think his end product with the ball is great, but at least somebody putting themselves about, I think, would have helped massively yesterday. Certainly in the first two goals, he would have not let his runner get past him. That's one thing he's tremendous at, is just keeping with his man and just keeping going. When he gets the ball, his decision making isn't the best. So that's where my criticism sort of lies with him. But even if we look at the whole 11 yesterday, starting with Lovett, I don't think he really made any of the third goal, you could say, could have done better with it, but he's made quite a few other saves. So ultimately, I don't know. Do you think you can really criticize?
I saw the goal that the third goal, and I thought he went. I think a goalkeeper should be saving that. He seemed to go over him, but he dived for it, and he almost dived in slow motion. I thought, I don't.
Yeah.
What was going on? But it was easy for them. It was too easy to head that in. Lovett shouldn't have to make that save.
No. And I think that's
the two goals. The second one. I was amazed. Like how can any football team be coached to defend in that way? Or are they just not listening? Are they incapable of playing to Johnson's instructions? Or do they not care? Because that defending was absolutely criminal. They backed off so much that if they backed off anymore, they would have been in the swimming pool behind the family stand. I can't believe it. They gave him so much time and space. What they were thinking, I don't know. And with the first goal, which Nublé scored, he just barges past everybody.
Yeah.
All of our players, they're weak.
And
that's all it was. They just allowed him to go past.
Yeah, and it's not like that was a surprise. We had him playing for us last season. We know exactly what he's about, and he just did exactly what he does. And it was just textbook, wasn't it? 1-0 down. And I think going in at half time, I think a lot of people would have been very, very disheartened by it. I think people were sick, to be honest, I think, about it. And as soon as we got a goal back, I don't know about you. There's always that when you get goal back, there is the enthusiasm in there. When it went in, I did celebrate and thought, okay, this could be a chance, because we came out of the second half and it was slightly even, but that was because Yeovil were 2-0 up and they thought this is an easy day. And then we got the goal and that woke them up, and then they got their third, and then it was just back to normal. But I just don't really know what can happen now other than Johnson leaving, which isn't going to happen. And the longer this goes on, the more and more you suspect that he's in sort of cahoots with Osborne, isn't he? They've obviously got a good friendship or something, because there's no way a manager can be have this much, this many issues with a team that should be higher up
I don't know what the justification would be. After all this time and after all these results and after the relegation and everything else, of of keeping him. There is no justification for that anymore. But he's not going to go anywhere, is he? I mean, the interview after the game, I don't know if you saw it, but I don't know if he's like that with the players after the game or before the game or during training or whatever. I don't know. But you've got to have some sort of passion, and you know, you need to get people up for it. You know, say, oh yeah, Yeovil were the better team, but we're gonna come back stronger. We're gonna work really hard, and you know, just motivational stuff, really. And instead, all we got was, you know, I had to turn the volume up all the way because I could barely hear what he was saying. He was talking so quietly, I could hear people coughing in the background louder than he was speaking.
Yeah,
and all there was just, you know, miss five of our best players, which I think is stretching it a bit, considering who have you got? Lapsley, Halstead,
Jarvis,
and
Dawson in that as well.
Who else? Yeah, and he wasn't even playing along with Dom Mee's relentless positivity last night. I didn't think. You get swatting it away. But all I can see, and this is why I felt so sort of empty after the Bath game, because even if we win, you just can't see, like, what's the point? Where are we going? Yeovil are going to win the league unless they implode.
Yeah.
We are going to have to settle for second, and I think at this moment we're not getting anywhere near that, because there are several teams in this league better than us, including, dare I say it, Avely, which is not something I would have thought I would ever say.
You know, 7 points behind Avely at the moment.
Yeah, which is an absolute travesty in itself. The club should be ashamed of that. You know, I know we are where we are for a reason, a lot of reasons, but there seems to be no recognition, no shame in where we are. And I that is totally at odds with how the supporters feel, I think. You mentioned just before this about the sort of overall feel of the club. And I thought there was a post on the club's Twitter today about an interview with a volunteer who does the 50-50 draw and that sort of thing. And in that interview, the bloke says, "Oh yeah, we help keep Playmore looking, you know, spick and span and looking really great and everything." I thought, you know, that sort of effort is to be applauded. But I thought Playmore when I went on Saturday looked crap. It looks old and tired, and looks as though no one's given a damn about it for years, which is probably true. The seats are all faded in the family stand. It's just not a nice place to be. And you go into Boots and Laces before the game, and you have, you know, it's so dark in there, you have to get your phone torch out to find who you're looking for. As others have said, like last week with Hampton and Richmond, other clubs have worked this out. They know how to create a welcoming sort of environment where you want to spend your time, you want to spend your money. We don't know how to do that. And what's worse is we don't care as well. It's a real shame. I don't know where we go apart from just plod along in the Conference South this season and next season until, you know, the lights are eventually turned off, which is not, you know, is not hugely positive, but that's what more can you see unless there's a complete change at the top?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. We're just sleepwalking, aren't we, into administration disappearing. I think what's so crucial at the moment is everyone's support of the Supporters Trust, got the fans forum today, is it, or was it yesterday?
Tonight, yes.
Which is crucial now. And I think despite the club not wanting to get involved, I think as many fans as possible have to get involved. I think we're not gonna see any change now. We're never gonna see Osborne. No. And the club's going to slowly just decline and disappear. Johnson, which I just can't really understand, unless he must be planning to retire after this, because there's no way any other professional club will want to hire him as a manager, because he just doesn't, I just don't think he's got it anymore. And I think I was one of the people last year who thought, yeah, when we've got those five wins and we nearly stayed up, and then they got the squad together, and I thought he's the man who's going to get us back up. But he just seems like a completely different man. And I'd love to put photos side by side of when, the day he joined us and the press conference last night, because he must just be exhausted with it all, and just, or he just cannot be bothered. And I'm not sure which one is worse, to be honest.
Maybe both, I don't know.
But
you only have to look at, compare and contrast the interview from last night, and actually pretty much all the interviews from this season and most of last season. Compare that with one that sticks in my mind is the season after Ashton Gate. We played, I think, Solihull away, and it was Tuesday night, and we got beaten, I think, 4-1 or something like that. It was a rubbish performance anyway, heavy defeat. And Johnson was spitting feathers after the game. This was fairly early on in the season, but he was saying, he was angry, and he was saying, that if players can't perform to the appropriate standard, then that's, they're gone. I'm going to get rid of them. They've got to book up their ideas.
Yeah.
Where was that? Where's that? I think he's just resigned. I don't know. Just heart isn't in it anymore. I don't know. But yeah, that's gone. And also, even if he did want to get rid of players, there's no one else. Clearly, our loan network is completely dried up.
Yeah, he's had so many different tricks, hasn't he, that's got us out of a lot of difficult situations. The period where we had scored countless late goals. And then he had the trick of, we'd go in at half-time losing and he'd rally us and we'd come out and we'd win the second half. And then he'd have the trick of his book of contacts, and there'd be the odd player who'd turn up who played for him at Cheltenham however many years ago. And all of these seem to have come in waves, and we've seen them start and we've seen them end, and we're now at a point where he looks bereft of ideas. We're very fortunate that his son has taken over at Fleetwood, so we can get two players from there. We've recently signed somebody, was it just before the game yesterday,
who
is described as an exciting talent, gone from semi-pro to professional, very highly regarded from the team that he came from. Didn't even get a look in yesterday, and you think this is the opportunity, prime opportunity for you to bring someone like that in. If we're so desperate that we're getting people in on the day, which I guess isn't actually that desperate, because it's quite, again, another one of his traits, that you think when you're 3-1 down, at least throw him on. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? And I think, looking ahead, I will come on to having a Waterlooville, but I think it's going to be quite a crucial game in terms of some of these players, especially the new additions, if Dolan can play, because he went off injured, but to really make a mark. And I think it's an opportunity for players to get given a break. Like we mentioned, Ash needs a break. But yeah, we'll come on to that, sorry. So all in all, a very humbling 3-1 defeat, which I think could have been probably more. Incredibly comfortable for Yeovil. Obviously, we now have a bit of an issue with injuries. Johnson mentioned missing five players. Two players hobbled off yesterday, Marshall and Dolan. Looking ahead to Saturday, who do we have that's got two working legs at the moment that can do a job, certainly at centre-half, and then also could maybe add some legs to that midfield, because we desperately need it?
Well, it's something that we've needed for some time, isn't it? Additions that in defence, but it's not really an area which we focused on in the summer, is it?
No.
I don't think that anything involving Ross Marshall as in the starting 11 can be constituted as a good defensive decision, given the amount of penalties and just other decisions he's made on the pitch. It's been urgent for ages that we bring someone in at centre back. I mean, is it ridiculous? Yes, it probably is, but to say that, God, you'd rather have Ali Omar than Ross Marshall?
It's not
I never thought I'd want him back.
Agree.
But oh, at least he was an imposing figure. At least he was physically a tough bloke. But yeah, that says a lot about the state that we're in, doesn't it? I don't know where. I'm not sure exactly where we go because we've got to make more additions, but it doesn't seem like we're capable of doing that really with loans because, for whatever reason, Johnson's contact book has dried up. And there's only so many players that Fleetwood can send us. It's very, very difficult. I don't, you know, when you are starting with the likes of Hansen and McGavin, as we would well do, that just spells trouble. And I would, if Hall is capable of starting and lasting for 90 minutes, I would have him, but I don't think he is anymore.
I think you're right on Hall. I think we've mentioned, haven't we, the tiredness that seems to come out of this midfield, and it's only going to be even more tired when it comes to Saturday. But fortunately for us, we're playing a side who have only won once all season. I think for most teams, they'd see that as a bonus if they were travelling to watch their side play against a team that's only won once. But I'm not feeling as optimistic as probably I should do. How are you feeling ahead of it?
I've learned never to feel particularly optimistic with United. Even if we were winning, if we won 10 on the bounce, you'd always have that voice in the back of your head saying, "Oh, I don't know about this." It's a game which we should win, and we have to win. We have to win all these at the moment, but you just never know, do you? Because if Havant are in the same ballpark as Bath were on Saturday, and I think we'll be fine. They probably won't throw anything at us, but we have to be at least capable of creating some chances, and God, we find that difficult at the moment. So, you know, it could be 3-0 to us, or, you know, it could just as easily be 0-0 with barely a shot on target from anyone. And yeah, it could be. It's not a trip that I don't think any of our fans will be treating lightly.
I'm hoping to go. It'll be my second game. My first game in the season was Averley, which obviously wasn't brilliant. But I think you've got to have some sort of optimism. I mean, looking at the table, they've conceded 37 in 16 games. We've scored 27 in 16 games. I think if you're gonna start a good run, it's the perfect opportunity to. It's the perfect opportunity to silence all the doubters after the Yeovil game. We won't talk about the fact that the week after is at home to Yeovil again.
In
the trophy, yeah.
Who is gonna go to that?
Yeah, it's not gonna be well attended, is it? But I'm just trying to get any sort of positivity out of the game on Tuesday night, and looking ahead to Saturday, I think we're both equally as resigned to the fact that no matter what happens, Johnson will still be in charge when we take on Yeovil in the FA Trophy.
Yeah,
I think we're both equally resigned to think that we can't really see us scoring masses of goals, even if they have conceded 37 in 16. It's all just a bit depressing at the moment, and I feel like we should apologise to people listening because they obviously know what's going on as well, but I feel like we could be trying to find any sort of silver lining. And
the only positive, I think, and it's not on the pitch, is the efforts being made by fans at the moment. You only have to look at the Tost
the Trust fans forum tonight, which will have already happened by the time people listen to this. But you know, that's been widely advertised, both online and in person. So there's plenty of opportunities to get involved with that, and it's only about what, £2 a month or something ridiculously small. You know, you're going to lose nothing by joining the Trust, and the work which they, I'm sure, will be doing is going to become more and more important given the current trajectory of the club. There's no light at the end of the tunnel, I think, with someone like Osborne in charge. And you know, the Trust will, you know, in all likelihood, if things continue to go this way, be the ones who have to pick up pieces in whatever form that is. I don't know. So you know, there is action being taken behind the scenes.
Yeah, it does.
And I think that's the only real positive at the moment.
Yeah, it definitely is, and I certainly think there will be more announcements. I think, judging by the sort of severity of the situation, I think there will only be positive news to come out of it. I'm not sure when we will hear what that is, but I'm sure it will be reported on Twitter at some point tonight, people giving feedback from the meetup. Sorry about the dog. So yeah, hopefully we'll hear some good news from them. Keep your eyes out, keep your eyes peeled on Twitter for any positive feedback from it, which I'm sure will be greatly greatly appreciated by everyone at the moment. I guess if we look ahead still to having a Waterlooville, I'm not really sure what else we can say. I don't think either of us feel particularly enthused at the moment. Did you have any other business at all?
No, I don't. I don't think so. No, I think we've pretty much covered everything from the general state of affairs at the club to results on the pitch to efforts by the fans. So I think that's been pretty comprehensive, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's currently raining outside, which kind of perfectly sums up the mood at the moment. But who knows, if we hammer to Waterlooville, then Yeovil play a week inside, we beat them in the FA Trophy, two wins on the bounce, who knows where we can go. And who knows if we're going to, I'm sure Johnson will be looking at signing some players, 5, 6, 7 players out injured now. So hopefully before having the Waterloo, we'll have some new signings to be happy about as well.
I very much hope so, yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for sticking with us. Apologies for the depressing tone. I'm hoping that things will start to pick up. And even if they don't, then please come and listen to us, because I think that's what we need to get through. Thank you very much, Matt, for tonight.
Thanks very much. Yeah, no problem.
And we'll speak to you all soon. See you later.